Hi, this is Paul Jones, pastor of Victory World Outreach. Thank you for visiting our podcast. I hope this ministry from our preaching team brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
It's God. If you'd open your Bibles this evening to 2 Corinthians in chapter 10. I'd like to minister a little bit this evening on winning the battle in the mind. Amen. Because it's a daily battle. It's a tormenting battle. If you're feeling under the devil's foot, if you're feeling assaulted, he assaults the minds of people, assaults them, torments the minds of people. The Bible says, fear, which assaults our mind, involves torment. And that's how we can feel sometimes. It's just tormented. The Bible talks about being vexed. That's just assaulted in the mind. Violated in our thoughts. Some thoughts that we just got to go, get out. The Bible talks about bringing our thoughts into captivity. And assures us that we do have the ability and the power to bring the thoughts into captivity. I remember there was this old commercial on TV years ago, and it was, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And you remember that? And, you know, it showed this little kid's desk in school, and you know, where that could lead to and taking them on all these journeys of career paths in life and all of this and where you could go and if you taught the individuals. And I got to thinking, you know what, the mind of people, even Christians, goes on some wild trips sometimes. Amen. Some wild journeys. Where the mind's just like going wild, taking us down some path, imagining some vain imaginations, the Bible calls it. All kinds of things that cloud, confuse, torment us. And I know 100% all of us have been there at times, some even tonight in this place, really feeling oppressed and tormented in the mind. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. Let me read that. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's some words and some phrases that the apostle uses here describing something that can happen to individuals. Something that if the devil has his way, can be established in the minds of people. Strongholds. Strongholds is the first thing. Strongholds in the lives of people take root and begin in the mind. They begin in the mind. They take root there. They begin to sink down roots, put down stakes in the mind. And it becomes a reference, something that people, if that lie, whatever it is, begins to be established, it becomes a reference for what the individual will rely on to make decisions, to determine the direction that they're going. It becomes a stronghold. Traditions, maybe religious traditions, maybe things that we were taught as a kid, maybe a lie that's just hammered into someone's mind enough that they just believe it and accept it as being true. Something that we're told could be as a little child. Could have been a lie, something as a little child someone told you, you are worthless, you'll never be anything. And they're told that over and over. And guess what? They believe it. You'll never amount to anything. You're always going to be this way. And it becomes a stronghold. And they carry it year after year, decade after decade through life. It influences their decisions. It influences their confidence, their ability to excel in things. Arguments. He uses the word arguments. Are reasonings or imaginations. Counsels against God. Philosophies. Empty worldly logic. Arguments. They're arguments against the Word of God. And we live in a world, in an environment, all of us, where we work, where we go to school, for some even in our homes, if the TV's on, if the radio's on, we're bombarded by arguments against God. Bombarded by arguments of why not to believe God. A high thing, he says, the high things. Similar to strongholds, something that takes a step beyond a stronghold and actually becomes an idol. High things in the Old Testament were always places of idol worship. They were called high places. Idol worship. The high things established in our minds, idols, imaginations, things that we have allowed to be elevated to such a place of prominence in our own mind and our own thinking that they trump the Word of God. Things that exalt itself, these things, he says, exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. They exalt themselves against it. And this is all around us. Like I said, every one of us, each and every day, bombarded by things that challenge your faith, that get in your face, that mock you, and begin to torment and begin to vex our minds. They force us to be on guard all the time. They force us to make a continual decision in our life of, I'm going to believe God. Amen. I'm going to believe God. A decision just like that, just firm like that. You might not have all the answers. You might not understand everything. But a decision is made that says, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to trust Him. Amen. But He says that we can bring every thought into captivity. Bringing every thought into captivity. It's a phrase that basically means being brought into a safe place, being brought and held in a safe place, guarded. These are just a few of the things that the Bible describes about the battle in the mind that we go through, and the torment, and what our young people face, and how the devil begins to take root, to get a place, and to take root in a person's mind. You ever, you don't wonder, we've all known somebody or seen situations where it appears somebody's doing okay, and all of a sudden they make a decision, and you're wondering, like, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Some crazy, radical decision going in a completely different direction, just like that. Something took root in the mind. Something took hold. Something had been stirring and stirring and stirring in there. And a decision was made. Sometimes a crazy decision. Sometimes a decision takes us exactly the opposite direction of what God has for us. It's a battleground. It's a place where we need peace. Amen. I thank God for His peace that guards our heart and mind, the Bible says. The peace of God. And that's exactly what we need. Of all the bombardments around us, the peace of God that guards our mind. I want to look at a few simple points tonight that I think will help us. There's a lot could be said. And You know, I learned something. I had done a series in Sunday school, and we have Sunday school 8 a.m. in here, by the way. I was throwing that out. Amen. 8 a.m. Praise God. And so a couple of years ago, we had done a series called The Invisible War, and it was kind of on, you know, the battles of spiritual warfare and all of that. But the more I studied and the more I dug in and learned and saw what the Bible had to say, everything came around to the battle in the mind of the person. Won or lost in the battle of the mind. Amen. Not all this, heavenlies stuff. I mean, that's real and it's got its place. But for the individual living a victorious life, doing something for God, overcoming, it always came back to the mind. It always came back to shoring up that mind, winning that battle right then and there. First area I want to look at, don't let the lies become strongholds. Don't let the lies become strongholds. These things that I just read and talked about in the strongholds, they don't automatically start that way. A stronghold is won. A stronghold is secured. And a stronghold is increased by the devil. But it begins by a lie. It begins by a lie that's planted in there. And all of these things bombard our minds and torment, and they afflict us. And we've got to be on guard against the lies of the devil. We've got to be on guard. It's not always some blatant thing of, oh, God doesn't really exist. No, there's subtleties, subtle lies of the devil, subtle lies, weird, strange things like that person doesn't like you. Things like that, weird things that sometimes if we're honest about it, we think, man, that's weird. You know, that person doesn't like me. Nobody really cares about me. Whatever it is, all kinds of lies that they get in there, they take root. They take root and they become a stronghold. Don't let the lies become a stronghold. There's a check that we have. There is a check that we have against all the lies of this world. It's called the Word of God. Amen. It's what we can measure everything by. It becomes a standard for us, a standard of truth, the Word of God. It's difficult, nearly impossible, to have victory in the mind if we don't know the Word of God. Amen. It's our weapon. It's our protection. Yeah, we can pray the peace of God, but at some point, you know, there's going to be a decision. Do I believe what God says, or do I believe what the world says? We got to make that decision. We've got to take that stand and hold that ground. There are some things in life where you will be outright assaulted for believing God by this world. The confrontation that comes against our kids in school, for example. Most of us that have been out of school for years and years, we have no idea. No idea the assault that they're experiencing from preschool on against their minds. Sowing the seeds of the lies contrary to the Word of God so that they will become strongholds in their life. So that they will become arguments against the knowledge of God. You know what? There's nothing wrong whatsoever with having good, honest questions. Amen. You ought to have some questions, but you seek God for the answer. Amen. I've got a long list of questions. You know what I do? I say, Lord, help me to understand this. Help me to understand this. I don't know about this. There's something about faith and trust. When we see what the Bible says, and there's a clear verse, it says this, God's going to provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. We have faith that believes that. Faith. Because we see it. It's written. I believe it. That's faith. When we don't know what's going on, we're not sure what God has to say about it. And I just don't know what's happening in my life, what's going on. Then we have trust. I don't know the answer. I'm not sure what this is, but I'm going to trust God. because he's trustworthy. Amen. Don't let the lies become strongholds. Secondly, don't deceive yourself. Amen. Bible has a lot to say about deception. You can mark it down that anybody on the face of planet Earth who is not born again, saved, is deceived. That, you know, you might think that's just too strong, but who would turn away from what the gospel has to offer? Who would reject that without something of darkness working in the minds? Don't deceive yourself. Because I promise you, in, let me read this, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become as a fool, that he may become wise. Oh, that's verse 19 too. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. Notice that the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God. Once again, a decision we're challenged with, we're confronted with. Am I going to believe God? Am I going to trust God? Or am I going to trust the world? Foolishness to God. Foolishness. The world looks at you and me for believing God, for believing some 2,000-year-old fairy tale, they call it. That's foolish. Fantasy. But it's the power of God to salvation. Amen. We trust God. We believe God. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. We guard against deception. It's all around us. Amen. Don't deceive yourself. There used to be an old saying years ago that just simply said, you can't deceive an honest heart. Anybody remember hearing that? You can't deceive an honest heart. And I believe there's probably some truth to that. Deception can come from our own self. Did you know you can convince yourself to believe anything? Amen. You can. And you can convince other people to believe anything as well. You believe something. You hear something enough. You can deceive yourself into believing it. You can trick yourself into believing something is true, something is right. The standard that we have, the standard of truth, does not come from within. It comes from without. It comes from God into us. Amen. It's not in me. What's in me is foolishness. Amen. What is good in me has come from God. It's come from God. Amen. His Spirit, His Word, changing me, renewing my mind. Don't deceive yourself. There comes a time when, you know what, we need to set aside some things that we learned from this world. There's a lot of tradition. There's a lot of religious tradition. There's a lot of religious tradition out there. And you know what? Some of it is harmless. Some of it is not. But there still is an overriding standard. It's God's word. Amen. We're responsible as individuals. Thank God for a service like this or a class or a Sunday school, messages and stuff. That has a very important place. But you know what? We got to get in to the word of God. We've got to get in to the word of God. Don't deceive yourself. Our pride leads to self-deception. Our pride, that we know it all. We can't be told anything. I've got it all down. Amen. I'll tell you what, if you get saved as an adult, guess what? There's a new learning curve going on. Amen. You'll start learning some stuff. Amen. It takes time to kind of figure things out. I remember when I got saved, everything was just blowing my mind. People raising their hands, singing and clapping, speaking in tongues, writing money, throwing checks. I'm like, what's going on here? I just kept my mouth shut as much as I could. Amen. I just kept my mouth shut. I ask questions. Nothing wrong whatsoever with good, honest questions. Ask away. Amen. Good, honest questions. I've come to realize the answers are here. I don't know necessarily where they're all at right now, but I know they're in here. I know they're in here. If it's something that we need, it's in here. And there's nothing wrong with a good, honest question. We should have them all the time. Amen. Seek God to sort it all out. Put it together. Make sense to you. Amen. Guess what? My mind started getting renewed. Things started to change in my way of thinking. And I slowly, over time, began to think, and I'm not done by any means, but I began to think more like God thinks. Still got a long ways to go. Amen. But I'm going in the right direction. Amen. Don't deceive yourself. There's times we need to, you know what? Burn some bridges to the old past person you were. Just burn some of those bridges. Amen. Some people want to hold on to those identities they had. Hold on to what they were in the world. You know, it's hard coming into the kingdom of God and all of a sudden we're talking about this humility nonsense like Brian preached last Wednesday. Amen. Like, no, I'm cool. I was something in the world. I'll tell you what. I was cool and I fit in. And people have a hard time letting that go. Amen. They want to make sure everybody knew that I was cool. Amen. I was tough. You thought you were bad, I was worse. Amen. Oh, you did all that? Let me tell you what I did. They're holding on to cool. Amen. Holding on to that old person. Let it go. Amen. Let it go. Praise God. Don't come in. You're 50, 60 years old, dressed like some teenage thug. Come on. Grow up. Let it go. You don't need that identity. People hold on to that because they want to hold on to the identity of what they were. They want to hold on to that. Don't forget I was cool now. Don't forget I was tough. And just hold on to that old person, that old identity. Let it go. God will give you a new one. Amen. God will give you a new one, a new identity. You'll be identified with him. Praise God. Don't deceive yourself. Third, love the truth. Love the truth. When Jesus stood before Pilate and he was interrogating him, he said, "Are you the king?" Jesus said, "You say rightly that I am a king." I didn't give you this verse, so don't worry. "For this cause I was born. I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." But Pilate's response, "What is truth? What is truth?" he says. What is truth? That's a question a lot of people have. That's a question people in this place tonight have. What is truth? What do I believe? Who do I believe? I'm hearing this. I'm hearing that. The world is ramming things down our throat. What is truth? Kids, growing up, what is truth? I'll tell you what. The world wants to make it as gray as possible. The world wants to make it as broad as possible. The world wants to throw everything in there. And whatever you want to be truth, that's truth. Whatever you like, that's truth. Whatever fits your bill, that's truth. Whatever lifestyle, that's truth. Jesus said, "Narrow is the way." Amen. It's narrow. It's narrow. And, you know, he made statements like, "If you want to be my disciple, forsake all and follow me. Whoever doesn't forsake all can't be my disciple." Hard saying sometimes. Narrow is the way. Yes, we will. Oh, cast as wide a net as possible. Gather it all in, all in. And then he made statements like, few find it. I don't want that to be the case. That's what he said. Few find it. Sometimes people have a hard time with the very decisions of what is truth. Of what is truth? What am I going to believe? The mind battles, the torments, the things that we go through are real. The Bible talks about peace that guards our heart and our mind. The Bible talks about being able to bring all of our thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The Bible talks about a renewed mind in Romans 12, 2, that there's a renewal process that's going on. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renew is it's like a renovation or a restoration back to an original state. The original state of what we had before sin was we thought like God thought. Renewed mind rearranges the way we think, challenges the way we think. You got to let go sometimes and accept what the Bible says. Do I understand everything in it? No. But I trust God. I trust God. Amen. Talks about a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Some of your versions use self-control there instead of sound mind. It's because self-control begins with a sound mind. It begins with a sound mind, disciplined thoughts, setting the boundaries, not letting the mind go on those wild, long trips of fantasy. Fantasy. All kinds of fantasy. Peace. Philippians 4, 6 through 8, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then he says, finally, in verse 8, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Amen. Think on these things. Amen. In the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That's something that God has given us. Yes, the renewal process takes time. As it's renewed, it's a process of time. But he's given us the ability to understand the things of God. He's given us the ability to control and to bring those thoughts in. He's given us that ability. We have the mind of Christ. We can see things the way that God sees them. We can understand things the way that he understands. He helps us. Amen. The mind of Christ. I've prayed it a million times. Lord, give me the mind of Christ. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus on my mind. Help me, Lord, to bring these thoughts into captivity. I bind lion spirits, torment, sleepless nights, worried, fearful, vexed. Sometimes you just got to get up and get mad. Amen. And I know some people are going through it here tonight. I want you to know there's peace. I want you to know there's peace for you tonight. There's peace. And lastly, it's okay if you don't have all the answers. Because we trust the one who does have all the answers. Amen. And he will keep you. The one who keeps us never sleeps, the Bible says. He will keep you. Those kids going off to school, enough fear in that right there, sending them into those places. I don't know if it's better to be illiterate or not. Just kidding. You better be praying hedge around them. Those seeds are going in every day, not just at school. As soon as you click on that TV, the seeds of the lies of this world. And if you're not careful, someday down the road, when they get a little bit older, it'll be a stronghold. And you'll wonder how it got there. You'll wonder where it came from. And then you'll have to say, God, help me to get rid of this thing. Amen. There's peace for us tonight. Let's pray, if we could. Bow our heads. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord, I just pray. Oh, God, over this congregation. You see every heart, every mind, every struggle, everything that people are going through. And I know it's your heart, Lord, to reach out and say, let me calm that storm. Let me calm that storm. Let me quiet those lies. Ease that fear. Bring some peace and rest to that person's soul. I pray that tonight. Before we go any further, maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. You've heard about him, been to church, but have never come to the place where you'd actually say, Jesus, I believe you're the Savior, the Son of God. Forgive me. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. I'm a definite decision before God. If that's you, I'd like to pray with you tonight. Slip up your hand and say, that's me. I'm ready for that. Not trusting me, trusting him. Just slip up your hand, put it up, put it back down again. I want to be saved. All my sins forgiven. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight, and a lot of things are whirling around, a lot of things assaulting, bombarding you. Confusion, uncertainty, fear, worry. Just tormented. What am I going to do? How's this going to work? How's that going to happen? All kinds of things. Things that question the Word of God. Maybe in your mind you're tormented because you know the Bible says one thing, but you've chosen to believe something that the world says contrary. And it torments you. It pulls on you. It pulls. It pulls. You get confused, uncertain. What do I do? Who do I believe? Who's right? Who's right? The Lord will bring the peace to your mind. He'll do it. He'll meet you. He'll teach you. He'll show you. He'll give you understanding. Jesus said, take my yoke. He said, learn from me. He said, I'm gentle and lowly. He'll show you. We're going to open up this altar. And you know what? I want to take some time down here for you and get hold of God. Say, Lord, give me peace. Come down and plead his precious blood on your own mind tonight. Let's take this time before we dismiss. He's here. He's going to touch people tonight. He's going to free some people tonight. You're going to have some peace tonight. You're going to have some rest tonight. Things are going to be settled in some hearts and some minds tonight. Praise God. We're going to sing a song. This altar's open. Let's take a moment. Let's get before God. If you need prayer.
Thanks again for listening. To hear more messages, subscribe and go to our podcast channel for more episodes. If you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from Victory World Outreach and to learn more about us or to support this ministry, go to vwonow.com.